You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show.
Yes. Okay.
It's the remix.
Bad boy, Diddy. Let's go. This theme song is the best. I want to get like the whole track. Oh, you never know. Hey, you guys, Bing is for doing it, and we are doing it tonight. It's the Grey's Anatomy After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. We are back. Yes.
Yay.
Jason Carter here in the hot seat. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
And you are?
I'm Kelly. I'm back. Sorry, I was sick last week,
Kelly,
and I missed you guys.
We missed you as well, Kelly. You. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage. Welcome to the show. The one, the only, Miss Ashita Onre.
Oh,
hello.
Thank you. Hello.
Newest addition to the panel. Welcome. Yes.
Thank you.
Sexy.
And Julie couldn't be with us tonight, but she'll be back next week, and it'll be a foursome.
Yes, it'll be a foursome.
Yes.
It'll be a menage a trois. Is that it? Katwa.
It'll be like the Grey's Anatomy house
all over again.
First season.
There you go. Except I'm not George. George is not sexy. I'll go ahead and be Izzy. Okay, so before we start, though, I have to say, last week, the promos for this week were like, oh, drama, you know, you saw the plane crash, all these things I thought were going to be, you know, in this episode did not happen. It was like the biggest letdown, because they chalked it up to being a really emotionally charged episode. Mm-hmm. So I was expecting...
But I think it was in a different way, because it was kind of a wrap-up of all of the emotion that we've seen leading up to this point.
It was like the end of the arc, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it was a little bit, you know, of all of that stuff with the injuries, the plane crash, and, you know, all of the stuff that's been at the forefront, I think it kind of wrapped it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to leap into some other drama, as we saw.
Of course.
You know, because there's always got to be some kind of drama.
Right.
But I think it's kind of gave us a little bit of a break to tie up the dramatic stories that we've had, I think.
Fair enough. Well, the title of this week's episode is The End is the Beginning is the End. And that makes sense. I mean, yeah. The end is the beginning. You know, now we're going on to more drama, because no one can ever truly be happy at Seattle Grace. I mean, unless you're losing a limb, cancer, bowel obstruction. I mean, that's an everyday occurrence in Seattle Grace Hospital.
Right.
So.
Yeah, right.
We start off the episode with Owen and Christina. Mm-hmm. So I'm liking them so much more now. And I remember Kelly, I was like not for them. I was not team Owen or Christina. But now that they're divorced, their chemistry is just so much better.
Well, I think for Christina, the label is what she could never wrap her head around. Even when it was Burke, remember, she didn't really want to get married. I don't think she likes the labels of being a wife, being in a marriage, being married. Anything that has to do with that M word,
right.
I think is what kind of shuts her down. So now that they're not married, she can relax. It takes the pressure off. And I think that's why things have kind of heated up between the two of them. And I like it.
Yeah, me too. They're no longer Facebook official.
No.
You know, it's
complicated.
But you know what? Totally. Boom. It's complicated. I've always wondered, like, I want to ask people, like, why is it complicated? Care to elaborate?
Right.
I can identify with Christina a lot, because before I was in the current relationship I'm in now, I was that guy. No labels. Well, I don't know what we are.
Why?
But
why no labels?
Because
it's about labels.
Like, well, it means it's definite. It's like
it makes it real.
But isn't that what we want? We want
not
real.
When,
we
want no.
No.
No. Actually, not when you're 21 through 29.
I think that you want it for real, uh-huh. But it's like playing house.
Right.
You know, it's like when you're young and you're playing house with somebody. Like when you first move in with your boyfriend, when you're like 18, 19, you pretend like you're in a real relationship, but you're not.
You're not. It falls apart like quick. You know, when when the bills come and money ain't there, it's
and
like,
all of a sudden
done.
You gotta get jobs, yeah. or somebody ends up getting pregnant, and then you're all of a sudden parents. Like,
whoa,
hold them up. I didn't sign up for this. I was just kidding.
And you're in the trailer by the river.
It's a whole different story, but I think that's why labels get scary.
But what about labels as an adult? What about labels at their age?
Well, I think Christina's a special situation because mm-hmm. she's not all there based on things that have happened to her in the past, you know, with Burke and mm-hmm. being stood up at the altar and just a lot of things. I mean, a lot of people in her life have died and left, so she's damaged goods.
Okay.
Brilliant damaged goods, but she's damaged
right.
goods.
Right, and she's not a grown-up in the like, normal sense because I think she was already damaged when she came into this profession, and I think everything, all the tragedy that she's been through just at work has kind of made it worse and her trust issues and mm-hmm. all of that, and she hasn't really... Really, I think just now for them, I think they're a couple years behind kind of a normal pace.
Right.
So she's starting to get into the roles of being comfortable with that.
Gotcha.
And I think that they're starting to catch up a little bit, you know.
Right. Well, like I said, I like them a lot better. And this, their energy is not so heavy. Owen and Christina were always so mm-hmm. heavy to watch. And, you know, mm-hmm. Owen is just a very intense guy. And when you see him being light and just fun... It almost, he loses his attractiveness, I guess, because we're so used to him being so brooding and so like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm so angry. I'm so mad. I was in Iraq. Oh, I got PTSD. I'll choke you in your sleep, you know? And now he's like, oh, you know, happy. So it's good. However, on a more somber note, and last week we did have a moment of silence for Adele. Mm-hmm. She passed. And this week we're dealing with the aftermath. It's been a month, fast forward a month later with mm-hmm. Richard and him coping and mourning the loss of Adele, which I love the way she went. I know it sounds so bad. You know, poor Alexi was impaled by a plane and Adele, you know, had a heart attack. But
after a traumatic aneurysm sure. and the surgeries and sure. you know all of that. But
the way Shonda and the writers brought it to fruition last episode was mm-hmm. just amazing. Mm-hmm. It was just so on the money. And that, like, again, I always call that Grey's Anatomy magic, mm-hmm. where you're just like, shut the front door.
Well, and I like the way that he still let Bailey have her moment and mm-hmm. didn't make it about him and his tragedy, and he kind of let her have that, and now he's kind of, you know, sulking off in a corner trying to deal with this and feeling the pressure of all the guilt that he feels for not being around.
Talk about the guilt. There's one scene in this week's episode where he's in his crazy closet with all the things he's accumulated over the years through surgery. And, mm-hmm. you know, to add to that, him and Meredith's relationship is so good now. They're mm-hmm. for years, he was always the bad guy. He may very well still be the bad guy. Mm-hmm. But... they're talking, there's dialogue, there's communication, there's warmth there.
Well, I think in some way there always has been. I think whether she liked it or not, he was basically a father figure to her, mm-hmm. because of the affair, because of her chosen profession, because of all of these different reasons, he was always kind of that constant in her life. And whether it was good conversations or bad, there's always been some kind of communication with them. And I think it's just evolved.
Right.
And now they have this certain respect and care for one another. And she's taking care of him. She's worried about him. She's checking on him. She wants to make sure he's okay. And I like to see that.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Me too. I'm glad because it was so awkward. Like, why? And I always try to put myself in the situation of the character. Like, well, how would I feel in this instance? Because a lot of the situations on Grey's we can relate to, like, you know, broken families, divorce, stuff
right,
like that.
Right.
And so I always thought, well, how would I feel about Richard? And I guess I wouldn't be as mad because the husband left Ellis not because of Richard. The husband left Ellis because she was crazy, psycho, horrible wife. She was always mm-hmm. working. Mm-hmm. Richard was just the affair that was happening on the side that really wasn't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But getting
it
back,
it was one of the many things that
right.
was wrong.
He was that wasn't the issue that she that mm-hmm. husband and wife situation ended. However, I am glad to see that they're getting along. And how weird, but how fitting it was that Grey operated on Adele.
Mm-hmm.
Grey was the one who talked to him when she died, and then you know Adele had Alzheimer's. Grey's mom had Alzheimer's. It's just. Like, all these parallels that are coming together that are really well-written that just yeah. blow my mind over and over and over again. And then his crazy closet.
Well, I think it gave him a better understanding of her. And she obviously could relate to what he was going through, which I think kind of cemented that bond with the two of them, even more so. Because they both went through a similar situation in different, in different capacities.
Yeah. And what was really brilliant this week as well was when he was going through all the different trinkets and all the different mementos of surgery he had in the room and said, this Thanksgiving in London, Adele was in London, I should have been there, but I was operating on this guy, and this is what what came out of him. And then all these things that you would not normally think of as being reminders or I guess, conjuring guilt in your life. You know, I don't look at this AfterBuzz TV cup and think, God, I didn't let Kelly talk that one time. Damn it.
You will now.
You know? Like, so it was just, you know, and it made sense. It was like, wow, it was a powerful moment.
And that's not the reason why he initially kept this closet full of surgery souvenirs. These were tokens for him to, you know, kind of that he prided himself on these amazing surgeries that he did, that he's, you know, he pulled scissors out of somebody's stomach, the guy that, you know, swallowed all the pennies, like all these different things. Mm-hmm. And now that is taken away and it's turned into this, you know, guilt-ridden. Now when I look at it, I think back, oh, I could have been home. I could have done this. I could have done that.
Rears its ugly head.
And I mean, if you really look at it, Alzheimer's aside, this is a second affair he had on her, you know, being married to her.
Right. Ish.
Because, you know, I mean,
you're right. You're right, though.
I mean, you know, all
of course,
whatever.
Right. Technically,
but
yes.
Technically, yeah. It is. So I can understand why he feels the way that he feels.
Ashita, how do you feel about Catherine Avery? Okay, about her character, first of all, and then about they had a run-in in the hospital where Richard kind of just let her have it. To me, it was kind of like, kind of a tough situation there.
What do you think?
Well, I feel that, you know, Catherine Avery, I like her character. I think she's another powerful, strong female on Grey's. I don't like her and Richard together. I think they're kind of weird. I don't know. It's like my grandparents.
It's so weird. You don't like it at all?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's whatever to me. It's not one of the standout couples on the show.
Yeah.
You know, but I do, one thing I don't like about Richard is when he yells. He always has the same monotone, you don't talk to me this way. I'm the chief of surgery. You don't look at me this way. Go away with your cookies. I hate you. Door slam. So
well, she was trying to be supportive, you know. She was just trying to be, I mean, I can understand how he's feeling.
Yeah.
You know, but then
It was guilt.
Well, and you always lash out at the ones closest to you.
Right.
You know, when you're grieving, everybody does it differently. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people do it through anger. It's easier to be mad than it is to be hurt.
Well, that's one of the five stages of mm-hmm. death, though, is anger.
We always feel guilt after the fact. We never feel guilt during.
Right.
Well, because you're in it. It's just it's like hindsight's 20/20. When you know you're going through the storm, you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. When you finally get there, you're like, oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Even though you know you're wrong doing it, yeah.
Because it's you're caught up in the rapture of love. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's just like when he lashed out at the nursing home attendant,
right?
You know, blaming that guy.
I said last week as well that I breathe a sigh of relief for Richard, though, because I felt Adele was kind of weighing him down, keeping him from moving forward. You know, he had the guilt of Ellis for many seasons, and then, you know, Adele left him, came back. Adele knew about the affair, chose to stay with him.
Right.
All that came to fruition. And, you know, as a human being, again, I try to put myself in their situation, and it's got to be a lot. Stress is a killer.
Mm-hmm.
You're working in a hospital where it's high stress all day, plus you have all this emotional turmoil going on in your personal life. I mean, and then to top it off, you have Alzheimer's now? Really?
Right.
Really?
Yeah,
so
right.
When she died, it was like, you know what? Let her go in peace. Mm-hmm. Let Richard move on. Maybe grow some hair. You know, maybe he was pulling out hair. you know. Anyways, but there we have it. Adele is gone. Adele, you know, like I said last week, don't worry about Loretta Devine. She's one hardworking mofo. She's on like four different shows.
I know.
She's got a check. It's all good.
Right.
She's not doing too shabby.
One of the things, though, that I'm really kind of confused over is Derek and Owen. Mm-hmm. There's this machismo, testosterone, I'm mad at you, it's all your fault, the plane crash sort of thing going on, which, you know, I don't blame Owen. I don't blame Owen for the plane crash. He may have signed the documents that, you know, approved him to fly on this charter jet, but we have to remember when Owen became chief of surgery, a lot of things were going on. There's a shooting.
Right.
There's just so many things going on that he had to assume. So it could have easily been any of them.
I agree with you. I don't blame
them. No, absolutely. But they need somebody to blame, and I think that's just where it comes from. I don't think it's logical. I think he's just angry. He needs somebody to blame, and they put it into his head, you know, with the lawsuit and with everything. I don't think it was something that Derek initially thought of in the beginning until they had that meeting when they pointed it out and he figured out, that that's what they were doing, that they were going to blame the hospital. And then all of a sudden, I think that's when he started thinking about it.
Yeah.
And it just comes from that place of it's somebody's fault.
Someone has to be accountable. Someone has to be accountable. And talk about being accountable. He is now a baby daddy. Meredith's pregnant. And I'm loving the way they're doing this pregnancy. It's not what, because, you know, you watch TV shows. Modern Family. Sofia Vergara is pregnant. She gave birth tonight. It's been like, you know, the big thing on Modern Family. With Grey's, I'm glad that they're making it, you know, it's flying under the radar. Meredith's pregnant. Yay. Mm-hmm. Let's watch Oprah. Yeah. You know, Meredith's pregnant. Let's have a drink. You know, nothing that's like too like, oh my God, she's pregnant. It's her uterus is hostile. The baby's turned over.
we already did that.
Reverse Trendelenburg, you know.
Can't do it again.
You know, it's very easy. And I think Meredith, I'm liking Meredith be a mom because they set her up with Zola to make sure that the audience.
Is Zola?
Zola.
I don't know.
She's probably at some like posh daycare.
She's got like 17 moms.
Seriously, she's got a nanny today. Yeah, Zola. And I mean, Shonda, really a Malawi baby? Why can't she have been like from like South Central or, you know, like seriously, like a Malawi baby? Everyone gets a Malawi baby. Mariah Carey's gonna have a Malawi baby.
Right. We're Sophia. It's like the kids that are never, you know, they're never around.
Kel, it's gonna be like Days of Our Lives. They're 7 one day, 25 the next episode.
Right.
You know, and you're like, you know, two different people. The mom doesn't know it. That's not their kid, but mom, you're a kid. You just don't know it. You just don't know it. You know. So funny. Karev and Joe.
I like that they're buddies. I liked that relationship. I like how they bonded in the last episode.
Yeah, funny.
I'm so glad they didn't sleep together. That would have been so cliche and, you know.
So Karev.
Whatever.
So Karev.
I like that this is a little bit different. I like the buddy system.
Well, they're giving Karev, you know, Karev is one of those characters on the show that never really had, you know, an arc. Never. Okay, no. The Ava was.
Well, he had Ava, and then he had the whole Izzy thing.
But never really had someone that was that really, really showed him in a good light. This Joe girl's younger, and she makes him seem fresh, and she's giving him new life. Mm-hmm. Karev was always a stale dude. That you look at Karev and you think bad breath, BO, stinky. I swear. I mean, every time I see Karev, I think, does he bathe? Because and so many episodes, like, dude, you smell. Oh, your feet stink. So it's like, okay, great. Karev stinks. But now he's with this pretty girl with Joe, and, you know, and she likes him. And she needed someone because she's an orphan and she or been in the foster system for a long time. And they connect. So I'm liking, I like those two together. And I love how Owen thought that it was Christina at the beginning of the episode.
I did too. I thought it was too.
But only because they finally, and Gray's people, stylists, thank you so much for getting these girls' hairs together because their hairs looking better and better every episode.
I mean, wasn't Joe's hair a little bit like more stringy?
Straight, right. Now it's rough. Curly and got that germ-ass bounce back, beautiful hair.
She's, you know, she's hanging out with a dude. She's got the bounce
she's
back.
Like, she's like, throwing it back, throwing it back. I watched too much TV. I watch way too many Clairol L'Oreal commercials.
You were like, what?
Yeah, for those of you listening on iTunes, he's doing the motion.
That is and so that,
he's
funny.
He's whipping his head back and forth.
I'm
whipping
my hair back and forth. What's with us tonight?
I don't know.
Oh my God.
Life is good, you guys. Life is good. Moving along to the patients.
Oh.
There were some interesting patient stories this time.
I know.
My favorite, though, I think was Avery and Arizona having that kind of like spat and bringing back, you know, Mark Sloan's memory a little bit today.
One of the things that's really cool about the writing is that you can tell there's nuances of pain still with everyone. Everyone's still healing in a certain way about someone who's passed on, because when Avery talks about Mark, he gets a little emotional, gets angry. Well, Mark wanted, you know, Mark would have wanted me to do it this way, or, you know, I feel like he's trying to fill Mark's shoes and make him proud, but without losing his own identity as an attending, which is good. And Arizona is always, she's so brash and she's so abrasive. I mean, I know she lost a leg. We're sorry you lost a leg. But she's never soft. It's always like.
But I think she was always kind of like that. I think that's a little bit of her personality. She's always right.
Right.
She's you know what I mean? She has a, and it's not too over the top, but she has a little bit of that, you know, it's got to be my way. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. Just do what I say and, you know, be done with it.
Right.
You know, and I'm glad that he stood up to her, and I'm glad that he, you know, was basically like, sorry, he's not here. I'm going to do it my way. This is my patient.
And Arizona always has that, like, what? Like, what? Like that.
Like, how dare you?
Like, she smelled something bad. Like, what? Like, what do you mean?
I don't get it.
Yeah. I'm glad they got rid of the Willy skates. Remember, she was wearing Willy skates, but she can only skate around on one set.
Stop it right now.
No, my bad.
Stop it.
So that was interesting. Also, moving on to keeping on the subject of the patients, we had the hair girl.
Oh, that mom.
I you know, but it's typical cliche Grays. There's something growing in your stomach. There's some kind of obstruction in your abdomen that's growing.
It like gives me chills. I can't even talk. I don't even want to think about it. It's so gross. They pulled a ball of hair out of this chick's stomach.
Well, why wouldn't she have passed the hair though? I don't understand. I mean, I understand gum getting stuck in your entrails, but
isn't it the same kind of like a cat and a dog when they get a hairball, they cough that crap up?
Well, they cough it up. I mean,
they cough it up. It doesn't, you know.
That was a lot of hair.
That must have been years of hair.
That was a lot.
It was different colors. I mean, it could have been.
Oh my god!
Stop!
It was long. It was all.
Stop it. I can't. Stop it right now.
Okay.
But it's, you know, if I had a mother like that, I'd probably my fingernails would pull them off and eat my hair and all. That's ridiculous. It's a stress disorder.
I've never heard of that though. But I mean, that could be on par with people who eat or like I shop when I'm stressed out or you know like spend money. It's the high of distraction.
Right. Yeah, it's the distraction
of what's going on in your life. And then we have the married couple.
Oh, yes.
With the stripper pole.
Trying to get a groove back.
You know, I think that's good. That's happened also before on Grays where the guy had something in his posterior. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had to remove it. And Weber's like, you know, you're bending over backwards to make your marriage last and work.
I was like, and bejazzled.
Well, she bejazzled. And you know, that is becoming really popular in Los Angeles. I know of quite a few cougars who have been bejazzled.
Why do they have to be all cougars?
Because they are.
The young ladies are doing it too, I think.
Well, I know the cougars who are doing it. I don't know any of that. I'm being real. I know cougars who are bejazzling. However, I mean, me being a male, I can't bejazzle that, but like, have you guys bejazzled before?
No.
I have yet to partake in the whole bejazzling.
I haven't
trend.
Bejazzled. No. Well,
but I just wonder how it sticks on there. Do they use glue or like wax?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
But you know, so
if you've bejazzled before, please go to iTunes
and let us know if you bejazzled.
To our podcast. Yes.
On YouTube. Let us know how it went. The whole process. Actually, if you could put up a video,
if you could give us step by step instructions, we'd appreciate it.
They were cute, and I mean, nothing too dire was with them. You know, she just had to get some routine work done. But I love how Kepner says at the end, "Look to the husband," because the wife has been married for 45 years.
Right.
She just wants to get some.
Yeah,
she just wants to get some.
Also, want to keep it fresh.
Right. You know, she's alive still. Things are still working. Yeah. The Oasis is still flowing.
She wants to feel sexy. She doesn't want to waste away watching reruns of.
Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah, she wants to have a little fun.
And I think that's a beautiful thing, you know, in relationships, because you come to a point where, you know, things do settle, where you're with someone for a while.
You get lazy.
You know, and the things that you used to do, you stop doing. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, life happens. And to rekindle that love and to really get things going again, I think it takes that's love. When you're willing to fight for a relationship.
Fight.
And I like on Grays that they fight for their relationship.
When you're going to break bones, then yeah.
Yeah. I like how you phrase that. If you're willing to break bones.
It shows that you're willing to do whatever it takes to, you know.
Right.
Relationships are hard work.
They are. But you know, it's work worth doing.
Absolutely.
I think my
favorite little anecdote that came out of, you know, that particular story was Bailey's honeymoon story. Where? She got sand fleas sand flea bites on her butt.
No, she
had sand up in her vagina.
Yes.
But she also got sand flea bites on her buttock.
That's gotta suck. Mm-hmm. Poor Bailey.
Well, wait, so I'm just trying to wonder why. How do you didn't use a blanket? Like how do?
Well,
you,
but I'm being. But with,
how, explain that. How do you get sand?
Well, I mean, I'm sure.
Well, have you gone to the beach and just even when you're laying out and you're sitting on a towel, like sand gets everywhere.
Sand got everywhere.
Well, Sheena, this is Seattle Grace, though. Bad things happen to those people.
I'm trying to be like, no, I didn't get no sand.
I didn't understand what, like, how was it that much sand?
He must have been moving too much.
We must have been wearing her out. wearing her out.
Go
wearing
in the
Bailey.
Water. Rinse that
I
out.
I know. Squash. You know what I mean? But it's salt water, though. I mean, she had the bites. It could sting. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what y'all working with.
I think that he was moving around. He wasn't moving right.
Yeah.
I
don't know. And Bailey this season. I know. Did something. I'm going to switch it up. Your doctors, you know all the different.
They should know better.
Trendelenburg. Reverse Trendelenburg.
That sucks.
Poor Bailey, though. But I think Bailey this season is taking kind of a back seat as far as her story. Bailey's never really had a really driven season. Mm-hmm. Bailey has great monologues. Bailey has great moments. Mm-hmm. Bailey doesn't have a whole arc about her.
Right.
And I think this season, Bailey's really taking a back seat and just, you know, she's there. She's in it. Mm-hmm. You know, she's not like a standout player.
Yeah, and we've talked about that before. I think she's kind of settling into herself and it's time for, you know, the old interns to kind of take over and guide these newbies and, you know, give somebody else a see if anybody else can make some good monologues. I wonder if, you know, Meredith will come up with something good. I would actually like to see Christina give, like, a powerful, good monologue. Like, that's, yeah,
The only time Christina ever gives a powerful, good monologue is when she's crying or when she's inebriated.
Yeah, but not necessarily about herself. You know what I mean? Like, about something, you know, about a situation right. or coming in with some good advice. For, I mean, I kind of like to see that.
As far as the interns go, we see Edwards and Avery trying to, you know, play decoy with the other.
I don't like that.
Why?
I don't know. I'm just not feeling it.
I you know what? I've never really been a fan of Avery. I like Edwards. I like the interns. I think they're great. I think they're an amazing addition to Grey's this season. I think that the way they're being tied in, brought into the fold, mm-hmm. is awesome because they're not just on the sidelines. It's intermingled. It's a dance. Mm-hmm. Shonda Rhimes always says there's an ebb and flow of mm-hmm. the show, mm-hmm. and they're ebbing. They're coming in, and it feels natural. It feels good, and they're so drop dead gorgeous. Derek and Shane Ross, ping pong. I mean, who thinks of this stuff?
Right.
You know, and it's genius the way Callie's like, okay, you know what? This was going to help you build uh-huh. muscle in your... Mm-hmm. And it's funny, too, guys, because I just had surgery on my back, and all these little exercises that are nothing, like just, like, moving, are work.
Yeah.
And so when you do them, you're like, shut up. You want me to do what? I'm a dancer. I can do fuertes and stuff, and all these things that, but they're like, no, you need, it's really important. So I could identify with Derek today when she's like, this motion will actually build this, and it worked. And these interns in that situation, seeing that side of the intern interact with the veteran on the show was just great.
Well, watching his competitive side come out because, you know, Derek, you know, goads him a little bit because he figures out that he's letting him win, and he said, yeah, because I'm not stupid. Of course I'm going to let you win. I know that you're competitive. I want to be on your good side. I want to get surgeries. I don't want to, you know, cause a rift.
Right.
And he said, I know, I understand what you're doing, you know. So they figure it out, and he's like, okay, it's enough. I'm going to go all for it. And he gets crazy.
Yeah.
He gets a little rough. Mm-hmm.
They both go crazy.
Have you guys ever done that before? Not been yourself to appease someone else of a higher, like, if I was Shane, I wouldn't have done that. I would have let Derek lose.
See, I probably should, but I've just, it's not part of my personality. Like, I can't.
So you would have played along, let him win?
No. No. I don't have it in me.
Me neither.
That. Like, no.
It's a go
home.
I would have
made it close, but if I could beat him, I would have totally right. killed it.
Like, for the sake of, I mean, do you think Derek's ego was that fragile that if he would have lost, that he would have kept Shane off of surgeries?
I don't know.
So.
I don't think so.
I'd have kept it tied. I'd have kept him like, wait.
I'm not a Derek fan, so whatever, but.
Stop it. I love him.
Do you like Derek?
Great hair. I love Patrick Dempsey. I think he's a great actor. I don't like Derek. Over the years, Derek is just, I think he's just so one-dimensional to me for some reason. He's mm-hmm. he's a neurosurgeon, and he's always like, you know, him and Meredith work because Meredith gives him life. Mm-hmm. But Derek alone is just boring to me. I don't know. He doesn't do it for me. He never has.
Do it. No.
He never has.
Interesting.
Oh, I know. But, you know, in conclusion to the interns, though, I want to see more of them. I want them to have their own tragedy, them to be mm-hmm. caught on a train somewhere or something to happen with the intern. Because even Meredith's intern, you're liking her more, too. Mm-hmm. Leah, not Leah.
I know.
Heather,
what's her? Heather. Yeah, I
was sorry, AfterBuzzers. Heather. Uh-huh. She, at first, we're like, she's dumb. Dumb as a doornail. I don't know how she got into this program, but she actually is showing that she cares about the patients.
She's the quirkier one.
Right.
And I like that, though. I like that she's a little silly and says silly things like, oh, I used to eat dirt, but I haven't in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, and she, I think she's cute and in that little innocent, fun way.
She's like the female George.
Yes.
She's the female George. Joe is the Izzy.
And I like said that when I first heard that they were trying to make her the Izzy, and I think so.
Edwards is Yang. Chocolate-covered Yang.
I was thinking maybe Leah more was.
You think? Well,
because Leah's a little mean.
But Leah doesn't get that much airtime. Leah's kind of like the intern that's just like...
I don't know, because I kind of see Edwards as a little bit more of maybe a mixture of Yang and Gray. I don't know. But I don't think she's like hardcore enough to be like too close to Christina.
Well, time will tell. We still have 12 more episodes.
Yeah.
Grey's is ordered for 24 episodes this year. And if you like Grey's and you like AfterBuzz, go to iTunes, tell a friend, rate us. We love to hear from you guys. Your comments, your feedback, Grey's knowledge that we didn't know. I'm finding out all this cool stuff from you guys, the fans, just by writing us and rating us on iTunes. 5 stars, please do it. We love you. Keep the lights on for us here at AfterBuzz, please. iTunes, tell a friend. Thank you very much. The plane crash.
We're back on that. Like, I'm over it.
I know.
I'm over it.
And Kelly, we predicted that this is going to be an ongoing thing this season.
Yeah.
I really think normally on Grey's, what they do is they start the season off with something and they end the season off with something, like with the shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And with Izzy and Danny Duquette, her seeing him, you know, the seasons start off like that. They have, it's an arc, and all of a sudden they end off like, whoa, where did this come from?
Right.
And I'm hoping that's what's going to happen with this, because it's like tonight they got the settlement. $15 million
each.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
I mean, and like you said, Kel, 30 for 30 combined with Meredith and
that's
and Derek.
Two households to get 30. Mm-hmm.
$30 million after tax. It's like $22 million.
But
still,
I'll take one.
I'll take 500,000 right about now.
That's why Perev said I should have been on that plane.
And they went to them like,
he was all mad.
$15 million and they all have to decide. And Callie's really gung ho about it. Callie's like, guys, this is celebratory. Mm-hmm. Let's you know, go have a drink. And they're all sitting there like, wow. And I guess they're probably shocked over the amount of money, because, again, no amount of money can bring back someone you've lost. No,
right. They think of it, and Meredith said it the best, it's blood money.
Blood money, right. Mm-hmm. She lost a sister, you know. Mm-hmm. And Richard says, no, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And she's like, eh, whatever. And I do think it's a good thing. You know, mm-hmm. We always think of what we can buy with $15 million.
Right.
But Izzy got $8 million when Danny died, and she mm-hmm. opened the Danny Duquette clinic. So
right.
the good can come out of a lot of money if you choose to use it that way.
Right.
And Callie is really excited about the money, and she wants to have a celebratory dinner, and everyone's, you know, not for it. And
hesitantly, they finally go. But I'm glad that they did, because when they finally sit there and they let her do her toast, I like what she said. I like that she kind of, you know, brought it around from, no, I'm not celebrating the fact that we're all multimillionaires now. No, I'm celebrating the fact that, you know, Arizona stood up for 5 hours. You know, Derek played ping pong all day. We're moving on.
Right.
We're still here, of
and
course.
And hopefully she'll have sex.
Right.
Yes.
Finally. Yes. Finally.
Yes. And it but they're, you know, they're coming out of it a little bit.
Yeah. And you know, while they're at the table, Derek, again, Meredith in the pregnancy, mm-hmm. they're all trying, champagne, everyone have a glass of champagne. And mm-hmm. Meredith's like, no, I'm pregnant. Mm-hmm. She finally tells her, and earlier in the show, Yang confronts Derek and says, I know she's pregnant. Mm-hmm. Her boobs went to a double D about 2 weeks ago. I know she's
right,
pregnant.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't try to play me. And Derek's like, she didn't tell you no, but I know. And that's because they're linked up. Isn't that what happens with females? You guys link up.
You sync up.
Same thing. Link up, sync up, same thing. I was overhearing at Pavilions mm-hmm. these two girls talking about it. And I wanted to ask her, I was like, is that true? Because she was like, yeah. I mean, Sarah had her period and then I had mine. And so we're always together. So I think we're, and I was like, is that like the moon and the ocean and the tides and stuff? Is, you know, is that what happens?
I don't know why it happens, but it does. And it's, sometimes it can be, you know, kind of scary.
Really?
There's too many at the
same time. I'm not trying to be inappropriate. I'm sorry. But, you know, like, I was, that's what made me think of it was when she said that.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the dinner, Meredith says, you know, I'm pregnant. Everyone's like, yay, toast, Meredith's pregnant.
Well, I like that she said, I'm happy. you know, and yeah. she looked genuinely happy, and that's not something that we're used to seeing from her character. So it was really nice to see that.
This is a season of Meredith happiness, right?
I like yeah. it.
Because she hasn't been happy. She didn't get her happy ending plenty of times.
No. Right. So I really plenty like to see that from her.
And she smiled. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's
and,
happy.
And we see, you know, the gang early in the show also confronts Derek while he's playing ping pong and says, you have to forgive him. You mm-hmm. you need to forgive him. And there's just no way around it. Like, get over it. It's, yeah. you know, everyone makes a mistake, you know, get over it.
And she tells him, you were chief once too, and there's so many things coming that you only know what you know at the time. You can only do so much, you know, you got to give him a break. And I it's good.
I have to say that I was pleasantly shocked that she said, you need to get over it. Because you know how hard she is?
Mm-hmm.
She's so hard. She's so mean. But she was actually very sympathetic.
And I like that she and stood like up that. For Owen.
Yes.
I was surprised yes. about that just at all, yes. that she did that.
Well, I knew that was coming, though, only because they've been so good this episode. I kid you not, ladies. Watching this episode and seeing them two together, the way they're acting was so refreshing for me. It was just like, mm-hmm. it was so light, and they were finally an attractive couple. You know, there was yeah. like chemistry finally because...
Well, it was back to the way when they met, like when it started.
Pre-choking, right? Yeah.
Pre-title.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. yeah. Pre all the drama with Teddy yeah. and like all of that right. stuff. Like, in the you know, with the icicle in the leg.
Right. And that's
you
what know, made them a sexy that. Couple.
Yeah.
Because when you pulled that ice squad for, I was like, damn. Whoa. Muy, muy en fuego.
Yeah, so we got back to that a little bit. And it was nice. Nice to see. And,
right.
You know, and to see, you know, both of those couples happy right now is nice.
It's finally.
It's finally, yeah.
Finally. Finally. And Derek calls Owen and says, hey, get your ass on over here. Come have a drink with us. Come yeah. have a drink with us. Let's just bury the hatchet. And Owen's like, no, you go ahead. And right then and there, I was like, okay, something's about to go down because mm-hmm. he's saying no. And Owen's always, I feel bad for Owen. Owen has always been in a rock and a hard place. First of all, okay, when he comes in, he's got PTSD.
Yeah.
His wife that he left, he dumped her in an email, comes back. He hasn't seen his mom in years. You know, he's got all these issues.
I forgot about that wife right. in the email. Yeah. That's right.
You know, the dad had colorectal yes. cancer. Again, colorectal cancer. Cancer, bowel obstruction. You know, dead baby. It's all Grays. Keeping it real. So Owen has yet to be at peace.
No.
He hasn't, yeah. he hasn't mm-hmm. been at peace ever.
Well, see, I thought he was going to get fired. But, you know, when they're having the discussion, we see that he's in the conference room meeting with the lawyers and the board people.
And what happened, Kale? What happened in the conference room?
They said that the insurance company found a loophole. Dun, dun, dun. They're not going to pay the money. Of course. $15 million each.
Times five. We'll do the math. I'm not good at math.
That's too much money.
Hold on. That's a grip of money.
That's a lot of money.
That's like 255,560 million pairs of Jordans.
Mm-hmm. So it's got to come from the hospital, which they don't have it. So what are they going to do?
And Roma Mafia, who also known as Liz from Nip Tuck, says, you know, we have to pay. And what we're going to do is it's going to bankrupt the hospital. We're going to close our doors. And I called it after buzzers. I called it. And I knew that was going to happen because what other possible outcome could come out of this? Then,
like the insurance company was really going to pay. That right. would not be a Grey's Anatomy where something
no,
good.
It has
happen.
To affect the hospital,
yeah. right?
And I mean that would be the worst thing that could happen. So that's the separate arc that's going to come. Maybe the plane crash is done, but the aftermath of
well, it's
the
still going to linger. Yeah, yeah.
The
we're
settlement.
Not going to ever completely be rid of it. I don't think this season.
And I don't, you know, I wish, I don't like the way Owen's hiding things either. I wish you, I mean, he's not hiding things, but they have, I mean, they can't spill it. They can't give us the whole plot in one episode. But he's always like, no, everything's great. Everything, oh yeah.
Well, I don't think he wonderful. Can, though. Like, I don't think he's allowed to, but with his position and with what's going on, I don't think he can just be open with that information.
Yeah.
You know, there still has to be some type of professionalism, even though that line is always crossed with everybody knowing things they're not supposed to.
Right.
But I think in this sense, I don't think he can.
And at least until they figure it out.
Yeah, I don't think he's doing it on purpose. I just don't think he can.
What a nice change of events, though, to have the drama be on a professional, like, legal level now. It's not medical. It's,
yeah.
it's you know, it's mm-hmm. it's now it's hitting close. I mean, everything hits close to home, but that's like us being in a car wreck together and, you know, you have, like, I don't know, a neck injury and me not wanting to pay and we're best friends, you know, or stuff like making
oh,
it more.
Oh, you would pay.
Oh, you're going to pay. I got Aflac. But no, making it more personal now, more, you know, because as you saw at the end when they were taking the picture, you got a glimpse of these are all friends. Right. These are all people that are friends that are close together outside of their professional life. They're close. And they've all shared in this traumatic event that's going to all tear them apart now. And Owen is like the catalyst that's going to make it that much worse.
Do you think, so that's what you think is going to tear them all apart? Or do you think that they're going to figure out, obviously, nobody wants the hospital to close. Then, you know, they don't get paid. They don't get, they lose their jobs. You know, it's not a good thing all the way around. So do you think that that's, I don't know. I kind of think they might give up the money. Well, maybe a portion of it.
Sure.
And kind of reduce, you know, the amount and figure it out to something that the hospital can handle. Versus letting it, but I don't necessarily think that it's going to break them apart.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out where this would go, where you know, in the future, like how I honestly, I'm gonna keep real. I would love to see the hospital close. They all lose their jobs, you know, and then it reopens up.
It's like,
you know,
back in Minnesota,
right? And like, you know, Meredith goes back to Boston. Mm-hmm. You know, Addison comes back because her show got canceled, and you know, just all these new storylines. But I don't know. I can't predict that right now. Let me let that marinate and mold over.
I think that it will definitely challenge some relationships. Mm-hmm. That's what I think is going to happen.
Relationships, though. That's.
I think it'll definitely challenge some relationships.
Well,
especially tonight, Owens
and Christina.
Well, I wonder if we'll. I mean, maybe this will just show us. We'll see how important the money really is versus the hospital.
Yeah.
Like, what's more important? Maybe that's what we'll see the divide on.
On the subject of relationships, we had a very touching moment with J'April. Which, you know, Sarah Drew tonight, I liked her even more. One, because she's looking better and better every episode.
Everybody is. Did they get a new stylist and hair and makeup people?
Maybe they did. Yeah. But you know what? Mm-hmm. Good for them.
Yeah.
Good
they
for
were
them.
That bad.
No, but you can tell.
But there's a difference.
It's like Sex in the City. The first four seasons, you're like, but then they got money. And they were like, okay. Yeah. I see that smoky eye, Miranda. But I liked what she said to Avery about, you know, about wanting to, about, he told her, you know, listen, it's going to come out that I'm sleeping with an intern. I wanted you to know. And
that was so heartbreaking
it was.
For me to listen. I mean, can you imagine? And she wanted to cry.
And she wanted to kiss him. And I've been there before.
I thought it was very big of him to do that.
Yeah.
I liked that he did that and didn't hide it and just kind of owned it. And, you know, it was her choice for them not to be together. Right. She did that to herself, unfortunately.
Okay, I got my answer. Because I remember when I was asking, I'm confused. I don't understand why.
Well, she was for Jesus.
Well, she suggested, they were originally going to go to the wedding together. She suggested that they get different dates. So she basically set that whole thing up herself because she didn't want to kind of give in to their sexual relationship that they were having. And, I mean, so I feel her pain. It was a really touching moment. You're right.
It was.
And it was really sad to see her go through the motions.
Because she was so real. You know, we always see April like all like frenetic and all. And tonight she was womanly. And she was she was just putting it all out there without being corny or awkward. She owned it. It was very sexy. It
was, she was very honest. I liked
that. It was very telling. And those are the Grey's moments. That's the Grey's magic I'm talking about. When you have those moments, when like last week with Adele, with Grey, with Meredith. Why call her Grey? With Meredith and Richard. You know, when they figured out, when he told that Adele died and he was crying. Those moments that are just so powerful that you have to stop and go, did I just see that? That was what was happening tonight, because tonight was kind of lacking from all the previews we got that it was going to be really emotionally driven and really intense. It wasn't that intense.
No, but it was emotional in different ways than we're used to, I think. And that's why it was just different, because it was just emotional in a different way.
Yeah, I love seeing the couch.
I thought that was cute.
With Kareb and Joe. Mm-hmm. That was a great moment. No furniture in the house.
He was like, this is kind of like what a girlfriend would do.
You know, I've never had girlfriends I didn't want to sleep with.
Right.
She's like, get over it. Drink your beer. Shut up. But I liked how he said, except for Meredith, but she probably wanted me at some point. He's such a cocky little.
And also, we had another moment with Richard and Catherine where she says, you know, let me just hold your hand. Let me help you through this. And I thought that was really cool because for a long time in season 5, the finale of season 5 where Miranda has a breakdown with Reber and says, look, we're scared. You know, one person's going to war, one person's going dying of cancer, and she's bawling. And she said, the chief tries to comfort her, and she's like, that's not going to help. He says, okay, you know, I'm just going to stand here. And if you need me, I'm right here. Okay, I have to say I cried many times that scene. Many times. But tonight, it was nice to see Catherine not be a biatch about it. She was like, you know what? Let me hold your hand. Can I please just hold your hand? Because she wanted to connect with him. Because when you have someone that you love that's going through something that's very painful, you want to help them in any way you can. Be it if it's cooking dinner for them or giving them space or whatever. But some people just need to have that person just reach out and care. And for her to do that was great. I that was one of the moments that I liked Catherine. Because it was very human. Because I've had people do that. Not to me, but I've seen that happen. And it's a very powerful thing to be able to just reach out and connect with someone on a human level and just try to empathize with them in any way, shape, or form. Because people we're very prideful. Right. We don't want to let people in. We have so many walls and all this baggage. And to let someone in is a very powerful thing. So that was really a standout scene for me tonight on Grace.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it was great because a lot of times you don't let people be who they are and you want to tell them how they should feel. And when somebody goes through a loss, especially something like that, you haven't been through anything similar. You don't know how they feel. And I think that's one of the worst things you can say to somebody is I understand or I know how you feel because you don't. Let them feel however they feel because you can't tell somebody how to feel.
Right.
So just to be there and to say, you know what, do whatever you need to do. I'm going to be right here.
Yeah.
I think is great.
Regardless of how you feel or that's a true friend. And right now I think Catherine and Richard they're having relations, but more so than that, more importantly than that, they're friends, you know, and that's what Richard needs is a friend because him like Owen have been through it. Mm-hmm. Have been through it, and I feel for him. I feel for Richard. Some of the most genius writing. This story, Grey's, is a story. It's not just like you're watching, I don't know, Glee, and every episode is just something different. Grey's is like a novel.
Yeah.
That you open, it's like 50 Shades of Grey. You know, it just keeps going. It's different chapters, different Twilight. It's like that. So. Mm-hmm. In Richard's story and in Richard's saga, I'm glad that he finally has someone on his team that actually cares besides Miranda. That's not outside of a professional level, on a more human friend level.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he needs.
Well, and totally off subject of that, but my thing that I was thinking about the whole time that I'm watching him go through all this and sulking around the hospital and not operating and all of that, he's not the chief anymore. How is he allowed just to walk around and sit in this room?
Look, he's got
he is the man.
He's the man. It's like Bailey is, you know, but she's Bailey. She's right. Bailey. You don't mess with that.
But she's still working.
But you still don't mess with Bailey, though.
He's like, I'm not going to operate.
I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to sit in this room, look at these bottles of souvenir, you know.
He's done that before. Remember when he was in the operating room on the couch after they got the number 12 spot for in the country, and he was just there like, I'm just going to sit here until I figure out how not to be number 12. Such a diva.
Yeah, but he's like not the boss, but he's just doing what he wants.
But he's still the boss, you know. I get it.
I just thought that was kind of funny because I was like, how does he get to do that?
I mean, well, they have these. How do they get paid? I want to know how much they make, like in Graceland. How much does Arizona make? like, what's your contract? Like, how much you get paid? Why do you guys live in crappy like apartments and stuff? What kind of car do you drive?
Right.
Well, there you guys have it. That's the breakdown of this wonderful episode of Grey's Anatomy. The end is the beginning is the end. Let's move on to some news and gossip.
All right. AfterBuzz TV
News. Kels, do you have news and gossip for us this week?
Well, for the happy folks in Seattle, you know, Tully's coffee shop was going to be bought out by, you know, the big bad Starbucks.
Right.
And Patrick Dempsey came in and saved the day and, you know, kind of took that over. So Tully's gets to stay.
Right. Well, we talked about that last week, but a new development is that Starbucks is now also going to counter bid again with another conglomerate. I'm not sure who they're teaming up with to outbid him again. So I don't know.
Well, no, they just found the settlement on Monday.
Oh, nice.
Like, so he officially got it on Monday.
How much?
Where it was I didn't see the numbers, but
how much money does he have to
buy? He's got the racing team. He's got Grays. You know, all his '80s movies. He still gets residuals from.
He's got coins. He's got coins.
You know, plus his wife. I'm sure she, you know, makes, you know, some good money being a celebrity hair and makeup person. So
There you go. Well, good for me. Good for me. Me and Jules said he needs to have a drink called the McSteamy, the McDreamy. The Meredith.
Well, that's what they said in the article, is now he makes a McSteamy cup of coffee.
McSteamy cup of coffee. What a great play on words. There you have it, news and gossip. Moving on to predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Thank you. I was waiting for the lights. Good call. Go ahead, Ashita. Predictions. Dimples.
Dimples. I predict... I had mentioned it before, but I do predict there will be some, on the next episode, there will be some issues, relationship issues, as opposed to the settlement.
Yeah.
I definitely see that coming. It written to the way where there'll be conflict. So I definitely predict that.
Kels?
Well, we saw in the preview that Arizona's going to be going through some stuff with her leg. I think she's going to be going, you know, having mental issues with her injury. And I wonder if that's just going to start the kind of rift back up with Callie, or what's going to happen with that. So I hope that it doesn't, but I think it might kind of set them back a little bit.
They need
again.
A break.
Sex, huh? Give them a break. I don't think they're going to have sex anytime soon.
Give them some sex and a break. Right?
I know.
Sex and a break.
But I also read that there's going to be a new woman in town to cause some issues for Christina and Owen.
Nice.
So
I love
Constance
it.
Zimmer is coming in, and she's going to be... she is kind of, I guess, on the administration staff of the hospital is what her character is going to be. So she's going to be around a lot, kicking it with Owen. So we'll see if, you know, Christina's going to get jealous of just him spending time with her, or if, you know, how that's going to play out. Mm. I think she'll get jealous and get territorial and, you know, start getting mad. And then their kind of little honeymoon period will be short-lived.
Done. Yeah, I agree. We'll I predict see. That Meredith will have some issues with her pregnancy. I don't think that it's going too good in Candyland everyone's a little bit too happy for me on Grey's. Mm-hmm. And as an avid Grey's genius aficionado, something wicked this way comes. There's a storm brewing.
Of course there is. There has to be.
There is trouble within. Yeah. I was listening to 80s tunes all day. So I predict that there's going to be issues with Meredith's pregnancy, but I also predict that there's going to be a tragedy with the interns. I think something's going to happen with the interns. That's going to be, maybe not a tragedy, but an altercation that could, you know, next week on Grey's, you fumbled with the medical
trial.
You think
maybe Jackson and Kepner will have an affair, and Edwards may get jealous, and then it'll be like this whole thing.
like a slap match.
Right.
Bitch, that's my man. That's my man.
Yeah, and then we'll see them have an all-out brawl in the locker room.
Like Izzy and Callie?
Yeah.
Right.
That'd be hot. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's all for this week's after show of Grey's Anatomy.
Yes, to get the music
Thank
back.
You. I like that. Until next time, I'm Jason J. Carter. You can find me on Twitter at JJCForever.
And you can find me at Kelly with an IE079.
And you can find me, Ashita on Ray.
Thanks so much. I'm so over it. Thank you so much. I can't even talk today. Thank you so much for watching, you guys. Until next time, keep it locked on AfterBuzz. Love ya.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.